Good morning. It's always good to look out and see everybody's familiar face. Feel at home as I always do when I come. You always encourage me. Thank Brother Sherman for his prayer. My Brother Kevin this morning. Enjoyed Roy's class. Man, he's talked about some things we're going to continue on this morning. It's great. He made the analogy that we hook up like a team of horses. I compared me and him more like a racy team of buggy mules. But Corey will appreciate that. That's a little Andy Griffith excerpt there. But it's good to be here. It's good to be working together. As I've noticed before when I come here, it's always good to hear of your young men that are out working, spreading the gospel, working for God. That's what it's all about. See Roy stand up here teaching and the other ones that teach the class every week that I'm here. And it's so encouraging to be here with God. Easy to see why God wants us to not forsake this assembly together, because this is where we pull from one another. This is where we work together and encourage one another, and we stay strong. As long as we follow His recipe for success, we will succeed. I know we will. I had to drive all the way up from London this morning to find snow and ice. I don't know what the deal with that is, but we didn't have anything where I came from. It's great. But I noticed this morning that you all had quite a bit of it. It kind of surprised me. Nevertheless, it's springtime, isn't it? We look around and the world is laid dormant in a state of sleep, I guess you would call it, for the winter. And man, when spring hits and it explodes with this color, it just makes us really get perspective, don't it? What an awesome creation that God has allowed us to be part of. These colors that explode from the earth as it wakes up in the spring, something that we can't reproduce as men. We can take photographs as the best that we can do, but we just can't reproduce what God produces. And it should give us perspective of just what we are to God and what we are as compared to creation, and be so thankful to Him for being able to be together. It's March. We're in the middle of March Madness. I know everybody at work's probably hearing the talk around the water cooler. The tournament's going on. The ball teams are getting with it. Everybody's got their own team. Athletics are a big thing to us in our society, especially basketball. Us being from Kentucky, we love that, don't we? It's our thing. And it's March. We're in the swing of things. I noticed watching the tournament, and this is not wasted time, I promise you. We're going to tie all this together. I noticed watching the tournament, can you see the difference in the ability of these young men that play basketball these days? I'm not knocking you, Kevin, or anybody else who's good in basketball in their age, but I think we'd all agree if we look back 30 years, we see a difference today in the abilities. We see these young men that are in college that are playing like they are, and even when they go to the professionals, what a new level of ability that we see in athletics, especially basketball. It's unbelievable. Gymnastics, another good example. Look at what they're doing with gymnastics. The ability that these girls and guys have to do what they do physically, it's really amazing in some sense. It's almost getting to be a circus. I mean, to be able to see what they can do, it's entertainment. I know North Laurel, they've had, I think it's been 3 years that the girls have won the national in cheerleading. And when you go and see what they do and the work that they put into that, you kind of get an idea of what it takes to do that. I'm building groundwork here to show you that the body physically is an amazing thing for what it can do if you devote yourself to it. Weightlifting is another good example. They set records continuously. We're continuously getting better. I know here lately something that stood out to me. Angie, I don't want to embarrass you by any means, but girls basketball. And if anybody played basketball with girls in my age, I'm sorry if I've offended you, but man, they're at a different level these days. It's not the same game. You could watch Angie or any of those girls come down the floor, dribble behind their back. It's amazing the ability, how the human can hone their physical abilities and polish themselves to a point like they do. My aunt worked at a sewing factory I know for years and retired from there. And if you walked me in and showed me what she had to produce in a day's time, I would say there is no possible physical way that a human being can sit at this station and put out the volume that you say it can do. But you know what? She did it. She did it regularly. It's amazing what the human body as a physical specimen can do if we hone ourselves and polish ourselves. I think a lot of this can be attributed to the fact, especially in athletics, it's a year-round process now. When I played football, we lumbered onto the field first of the season out of shape, and it was rough. But we played football for the football season, and it was over. That's not accepted anymore. These people can't perform at the level that's expected of them unless they apply themselves year-round. You see it in football, weightlifting out of season. It's a year-long process to be able to perform at these levels, and it's amazing. It's really, really amazing. I commend them for what they can do physically. This morning, let's talk about our exercise. That's a lot of what it is. It's ability. Ability is part of it, but conditioning, I think, is what makes the biggest difference today in those kind of things. Don't you agree? I think we have talent and ability. It's always been instilled in man. God made us that way. But man has figured out physically how to tap in and hone these things to the level that they are today. So let's talk about exercise. Let's talk about it toward godliness. Let's make some applications today from the physical over to the spiritual. And I feel that when we get done today, you're going to feel that God has instilled certain laws into man that's going to span physical and spiritual. We see these similarities in spiritual and physical aspects of men in everything. What's the fad today? When we turn on the TV and we see the commercials, what's the majority of the commercials for? Throw that out. But physical fitness, wouldn't you say? Billions and billions of dollars are spent physical fitness. It's growth in our heads. And it's a good thing. That's what we need to do. I think if you consulted any trainer at any level at all, they would agree with us today that diet and exercise are probably the two most important things that we have to do in our physical bodies to make this conditioning possible. There's other things that we can do to hone our skills, but as far as our conditioning goes, we have to have exercise and diet. And without those things, it's not going to work. Probably, without both of them, you're never going to reach the level that you need to by just looking at one of them. You all answer this to yourselves. I love to watch Biggest Loser. I don't know if you all do or not. To me, it's encouraging. Have you ever thought about what these people do? And I tell you why I think it appeals to me so much. Is we see these people on The Biggest Loser that are fighting the same battles, waging the same wars in the flesh that we wage and battle every day in the spirit. Don't you agree with that? Think about that. What do they battle? They battle lifestyle, don't they? They battle diet. This exercise that has to be there. They're waging the same wars in the flesh that we wage in the spirit. So we can learn a whole lot. Again, looking at that law of nature that God has instilled in us as human beings that carry through to both sides of man. These people on that show completely revamped their lives, and they're an encouragement to me. Physical fitness is important. Health is important for our physical lives. And they accomplish these extraordinary accomplishments by losing this weight. It's amazing what they can do. If you take these things that they do, it reassures me just how great that man can do in the physical sense. I mean, if he really buckles down, he can literally change his life. He can put off an old man and bring on the new, as Roy talked about this morning in his class. It's easy to do. You can make huge amounts of improvement very fast if you do these things and you stay true to them. But let's think about something. Look at 1 Timothy 4:8. We're reminded here, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come." I think about that as to make an application of this. As great an accomplishment as they make, as fast as they can make it, and if they can hold that standard through their whole life all the way into death, it's an amazing physical feat, isn't it? But what is it compared to eternity? It's temporary, isn't it? Not a single person listening to us today is going to cheat death. You're not going to cheat time. I lift weights with a boy that's about 10 years behind me, and he can wax me, but that's all right. He says that he's going to fight it to the end. But he knows and he understands he's not going to cheat that. Time's coming. It's going to happen. The best I can hope for is to put it off as long as I can. We say that to say this. All the work and the physical effort and the great accomplishments we can make physically is only temporary. It's going to be gone. Compare what we need spiritually for eternity. Because the few years that we have here on this physical earth and these physical bodies are only a short, just a beginning, conception of time, of consciousness, of existence that we have. It's going to determine where we're going to spend a whole eternity in a new body, a different body, one that's going to last forever. The ones who didn't take advantage of this time that we have are going to be the ones after judgment thinking, "Man, I got 60 years, but look what I've got now. An eternity of nothing but eternal torment." It's going to put it into perspective exactly what they've got. This physical exercise profiteth little, but this godliness that we can exercise for, it's going to serve us not only through this whole life, but through this eternity that we have to come, both existences. What we should be doing is, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 5, we should be exercising our senses toward being able to discern good and evil. That's what's going to serve us well in our life. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are at full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to determine both good and evil." That's what will serve us well. We've got to get on the meat, don't we? We've got to get on the exercise. We've got to start working. We've got to start growing. We've got to get strong. Where's the teachers come from? Where are the ones that are out working coming from? Did they become that when they gave their life to Christ? No. They had to learn and grow. We all do. But that's something that we've got to work toward. It don't come easy. It comes from work. We talked this morning about the old man. That's something that we've got to put off in. We've got to get rid of that. Romans 6:6 tells us, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him," Christ, "that the body of sin is destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin anymore." This old man is something that we have to get rid of. And Colossians, I think, puts this together quite a bit. If you'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. Let's start in chapter 5 and listen to what he says about the old man. Paul writing to Colossians. 3:5-11 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inward affection, evil." I don't know what word that they use in the New Testament or in the New King James. The King James uses conceptions or something. "And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. For them the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in. But now you put off these old things." You get rid of the bad, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy communication out of your mouth. "Lie not to one another, seeing that you put this old man and those old deeds away, put those behind you. Don't do those. And it's put on this new man that we've got to take, this lifestyle change that we've got to have, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, God, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. That's the man that we've got to get rid of, isn't it? That old man. We got to get rid of him. Got to have the lifestyle change. Remember our favorite show, one of our, the losers? They have to get rid of something, don't they? They can't bring in good on top of bad and hope that it offsets each other. That don't work. The first thing they have to do is get rid of something. Put out the bad. Put out the old lifestyle. Create a place for improvement. We got to put on this old man. Pick up at 17 where we just left off in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, things we talked about in Roy's class this morning, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave ye, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's the new man. That's the new man we have to have. Do you see? We have bad to get rid of. But that by itself is not good enough. We've got to put good in. Christ warned us in Matthew chapter 12, 43-45. He made a point. He said when the unclean spirit leaves a man in search of dry places, seeking rest, findeth none, then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so it shall be until this wicked generation. What's the point that he's making here? The man has gotten rid of the bad, hasn't he? He's put that out. He's swept. He's garnished. He's done everything. But what's his problem? His house is empty. There's vacancy there. He's only fought half the battle. He's got rid of the bad, but he's failed to bring the new in to replace it. That's what we do as babes in Christ. When we become Christians, when we put on Christ, we all understand and don't have a problem with getting rid of the bad things that we do that we talked about this morning, Corey's point. We know to do that. Where we fail short or fall short is we don't get busy enough, quick enough, to refill that void or that vacuum that we created by getting rid of the bad with the good stuff. That's what allows us to fail. If we had that full, and these bad things return and find a no vacancy sign blinking, nowhere to go, we hold them off a whole lot better, don't we? So it's not good enough that we just get rid of the bad. We've got to get the good as well. Replace it with the good. That's two things that everybody agrees that's going to have to improve us is this diet and exercise. So the few minutes that I've got remaining, I want to use talking about diet. One thing on a physical note with diet. I remember in 1990, and thought just crossed my mind, I was looking at some pictures this week at work, a guy, a fugitive that's been gone for like 20 years. Have you ever tried to figure out what somebody looks like 20 years later? They change. They're not the same. Just like we are. But thinking about diet, in 1990, I showed up to State Police Academy in Frankfort. There's a young man that I had the pleasure of making an acquaintance with. He showed up. I don't really remember him because I never met him when we were going through the process of applying. But, you know, you pass people and you see their faces. I knew that when he applied, he was on the border of getting in under our standards. We still had height, weight standards and other standards, physical fitness standards that had to be passed before you could work for us. And I remember that he was on the borderline. He was a little heavy. He was a big boy. I mean, he was 6'4". He was a monster. But his weight ratio was a little high. And state police looking after his welfare made sure he understood that he had 6 months before he reported for duty if he gets accepted, but that he's on the bubble. Don't show back up at our house in this shape or we'll make you regret that day. Well, we showed back up, I think it was in May, sometime like 1999, reported for duty. There's my old buddy, noticed him in the line there. He didn't look a lot different than he did than when I saw him when we applied. And I was like, I might want to distance myself from him because I got a feeling he's going to get a whole lot of attention and I don't want that attention. So we go through our first day. They mess with us, as Herbie Reagan attests to. They won't let us sleep. They run us to death. You know, first time we hit a chow line, I mean, we're ready to go into a death row on the buffet bar. And we're so hungry, we can't stand it. But we file in, at attention, into the chow line, and what's the first thing that they put in front of us? Desserts. Who came up with that idea? Desserts, first thing, with a bunch of men that's ready to lick the floor, they're so hungry. Well, everybody helped themselves to the dessert, naturally. We didn't know what we were doing. I mean, we were starved to death. A lot of us, they wanted us to have extra dessert, because I came in at 150 or 60 pounds. I looked like a skeleton. But we picked our desserts. We went through the line, and believe me, we got everything that they let us have, we took it. And there was a drill sergeant that stood down at the end of the chow line. And when you got to the end, you stopped, you signed your name, and you turned around at attention, you presented your tray, and then you walked out the door. Well, I got to thinking on the way down, he's not here just memorizing our faces. He's taking note of what's on our tray. I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I knew they're keeping an eye on us. Poor old Simmons, bless his heart. He gets to the end, and he, just like the rest of us, probably more so, loaded that tray up. And when he got to the end, what's the first thing he does when he turns to that drill sergeant? That drill sergeant takes his tray with his desserts, and dumps that tray into a big garbage can, and he pins Simmons to the wall with his nose and says, if you ever come through my chow line again with anything on your plate other than something from the salad bar, I will take you outside and run you to give up what you do have left in you. I'll run every step with you, and it'll be happening every time. Simmons got the point, as is everybody else behind Simmons got. I mean, we saw some guys trying to get rid of some stuff off the tray, you know. It's like, everybody came to my tray because I could get all I wanted. I needed it, you know. So I was the dumping place. But I make this point to say this. In the physical sense, I watched a guy that was overweight and big. By the time we got out of there in 5.5 months, you wouldn't recognize the guy. He changed that much in 5.5 months. He literally went from one of the largest uniforms that they had down to his just hanging on him. They told him he looked like a soup sandwich because his clothes was hanging all over him, whatever. But it's amazing what he did. He went from someone who was inactive, weak, just in bad shape all the way around, to a slim guy that could run me into the ground, that was strong as an ox. But you've seen him morph into a completely different human being. Folks, that's amazing stuff physically. That's amazing stuff. And the reason that I tell you this stuff, the same thing can happen to us spiritually. If we devote ourselves like some of these stories that we've told in the physical sense, spiritually, we can do the same thing. We can come out of the gate smoking like a racehorse if we apply ourselves and make these huge jumps in our spiritual health just the same. think about those things. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 4. We read some out of 1 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye, says, for ye are yet carnal, for as where there is among you envying, strife, divisions, all these things, carnal things, divisions that are indicators of this carnal frame of mind that you're still in." Paul's identifying these Corinthians as the very people that we talked about earlier. The babes in Christ who came out on formula and were content to stay on formula, who had never grown. He couldn't even address them the way he wanted to address them and address the spiritual issues that need to be addressed with them because they're still in the carnal sense. They've not even switched over. They're not growing. They've got to grow. If he's going to do with them, they've got to get in a situation where they can be dealt with and talked to spiritually. We're going to talk about that in a minute, about how God doesn't accept babies that stay babies. The whole idea is what the Hebrew writer had in chapter 5, is what we're supposed to do. Hebrews 5, 11 through, let's read chapter 6, through chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "Of whom ye have had many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. Why? For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as ye have need milk, and not of this strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on into perfection, completion. Not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works, those basic things that it took for them to become Christians, but to move on, laying again these foundations, to move on to the, look at verse, I'm trying to find verse 4 here. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, saying they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame." These things, these basic foundations that he already had taken care of, they're still having to address these things. Those things are what got you here. You need to be moved on. You need to be taking on these other things. You need to be becoming teachers. You need to be able to become these people that we can talk to in a spiritual sense, they can understand what we're saying to you without having to speak carnally as we talked about in Corinthians. And if you don't accept this thing that's going on, that's all that's coming. That's all that God has for you. This plan of salvation that Christ played out, this gospel that they're now turning the world upside down with, this is it, folks. It's still today. That's all we're going to get. If we don't take advantage of this, we're lost. If we've tasted this, if we understand this, if we decide to go back into the world, there's no help for us. There's nothing different coming. This is all we have. I think we'd all agree that we see the same parallels in the physical and the spiritual. The point that we need to make is, remember, we can't just get rid of the bad things out of our life. We're going to fall short of our mark. We've got to replace them with the good. Dig in. Get busy. Fill that void right away. Feed yourselves with God's Word. That's what nourishes us. Timothy was noted as being a good example of one that had been fed and nourished on God's Word. Look at 1 Timothy 4, 6 and the reference there that is made to him. It says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of what? Faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. That's where our nourishment needs to come from, isn't it? That's where our diet should be. I remember a verse growing up, and you wonder, the teachers that work with our youngsters, do you ever realize what an impact you make on the church? Sister Shirley does. I know you do. All of you do. That's why you do what you do. The teachers of our children are laying foundations. They're putting things in our heads, and they're training us up right, correctly, in God's Word and God's doctrine. Things that will stick with us and serve us well as we reach maturity. I think of things right now when I preach, verses come to my mind that I learned as a child. These things are ingrained in us. They're burned into our minds. Psalms 119:1, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. That's putting the good stuff in. Putting that word in, that I may not sin against thee. We talked this morning about offend, that I may not offend God. I may not offend man. Because our diet is correct. We put the right thing in our mind. In summary, with our diet, we've got to quit eating the garbage. You've got to quit eating the bad stuff. We have to start eating healthy. Just like all the commercials are about physically today. You've got to eat healthy. You've got to eat healthy. Get rid of the calories. Get rid of the fat. Get on the good stuff. You've got to eat right. Let's talk about exercise just a second now. We have to have exercise. It's not an option. Physically, it is an option. We can choose to stay dormant and not exercise. Sometimes lifestyles of our work and our good diet may be enough to maintain a level of health that we're comfortable with. But spiritually, it doesn't work. That's one difference that we can show. We have to exercise spiritually, or we can't be pleasing to God or to man. Let's make that point. Look at 1 Timothy 4:6-8. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, we just read that a second ago, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, that's what we need to be eating, and a good doctrine wherein thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather into godliness. We have to exercise into it. That's the way we get there. For bodily exercise profiteth a little bit, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that is now and that is which is to come. We used that a while ago, didn't we? We've got to exercise, don't we? That's the point we're making. That's the only way that we develop these fruits. Roy had a little bit in his class this morning on some of the fruits. We read earlier about some of the fruits of the new man, stuff that we need to have there. That's the way those things are developed, are built for us. Look at Galatians 5:22-26. Let's remind ourselves of some of these. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Boy, these are new things. Oh, God, these are the things that we need. Meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the loves. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. These are the things that we need to develop. When we replace that void with this good stuff and we start exercising, here's the fruit that's going to come from this. We're going to have indicators that are going to show exactly where our heart's at. We have to have this exercise, and we've made this point to be pleasing to God and man, but let's see it in God's own words. Look at Acts 24:16. It says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscious void to offense toward God and toward man. We have to do that. That's the only way we're going to be found void of offense to God and to man. That's what these things are, what enable us to discern this good and evil that we talked about in Hebrews 5. If we don't put them in there and educate ourselves, we're never going to recognize it. It's this chastening of this word that we talked about that makes us the better person that we are. It makes us the Christian that we need to be. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised hereby." How many times were we told when we were growing up, "You eat that because it's good for you"? Did we understand that? Probably no. We didn't like that advice, but we knew it was what was for the best of us, really, didn't we? So we did that. This word that we have to put in here, this diet that we have to go on, it's going to chasten us. It's going to chasten us into the person that we need to be. The writer says nobody likes it. I didn't like it when I got my leg strapped with a belt. That wasn't pleasant for me. That wasn't pleasant for my dad. But I needed that. That was something that made me a better person, I'm convinced today. And I'm thankful to my father, and I'm thankful to my God for giving me parents that were godly people who disciplined me and kept me in line and gave me the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the home. I mean, it's priceless. We all need to be thankful for that. But this word will do that. Just like this lifestyle that improves us physically, this running. You notice these runners all the time? Run, run, run. No pain, no gain. It's the same way spiritually. We're going to have to dig into this word and do what's right. We're going to have to make a physical effort. And if we'll dig in for a little pain and really hit it hard, we can show huge growth in a short amount of time, just like we've made the point in the physical world. I think what we need to be careful that we don't do is let Satan fool us. Satan has a way of taking us with carnal minds when we're young as Christians, making the good stuff look like lima beans. We're not careful. And the stuff that we don't need to be on that's going to keep us weak and sick, the little Debbies, he likes to make them attractive to us, don't he? Yeah, little Debbies, I can relate to that. That's not the stuff that's going to make me big and strong. That's going to make me sick if I stay on little Debbies. That's what Satan wants us to see. Don't let him color you that way, your opinion of the food. You dig in and you get it. You realize what that good T-bone is like in there. You convince yourself. You grow. Don't let him lure you away with the rattle of that little Debbie wrapper, because he will flat do it. We got to get in. We've got to make effort. And we've got to grow fast. It accomplishes the great things in the spirit just like it does in the physical man. But it's got to be correct exercise, doesn't it? You noticed in our athletics that we mentioned earlier, Angie probably doesn't follow the same rigorous exercise plan that the football team does. I hope not. But it is focused exactly to the job that she has. That's how you reach these great pinnacles of ability. It's no difference in the spirit. We have to identify, focus, and set our goals, and that's what we have to work for. Not letting the world or Satan drag us off on the things that we're going to exercise in wrongly and end up sick and lost forever. That can happen. Paul makes that point with the false teachers. For Peter does in 2 Peter 2, verses 10 through 15. He shows us proof here that we can exercise our heart right into destruction if we're not careful in what direction we're taking. 2 Peter 2, 10 through 15 says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness," we're talking about false teachers here, "and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They're arrogant, they're boisterous, obnoxious." It says, "Wherein angels, which are greater than man, even they, don't bring railing accusations against them before the Lord." But these people are bold enough to do it. It says, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they don't understand, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, and they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous. What do? They exercise it with the wrong things. Covetousness practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who love the wages of unrighteousness. We can exercise ourselves right into our own destruction if we don't keep our path straight. We don't follow the things of God. Spiritually, we can walk ourselves right into destruction. It's only God's Word that's going to spiritually nourish us correctly. That's the point that we have to make. Let's summarize what we talked about in the lesson series. We are what we eat. Do you agree with that? I don't care if you want to talk about the physical man or the spiritual man. We are what we eat. Garbage in, garbage out. I think those are laws of nature that we can't get around. God has made us that way. We must eat and exercise healthily the right things, the words of God, those nourishing words that Timothy was a good example of, to become godly or to become righteous with God. Let's ask ourselves some questions this morning and then we're finished. What kind of training program are we on? I hope we're all in training. I hope we're all working hard. Do you have goals? Have you assessed what level you're on spiritually? Think about these things. Give me just a minute and think these things in your mind. Have you assessed where you're at spiritually? Have you set a goal to improve yourself? Because if you don't, you'll fall into a little sense of sleep and you'll just flounder and become stagnant. Think about these things in your mind. Where do I need to be going? And that applies to everybody, regardless of what level you're on. There's always room for improvement. Set that goal. Where was I at 2 years ago? Have I gained anything? But don't just stop there. Where do I want to be a year or two from now? God expects me to get stronger. I've got to exercise. Think about, what do you feed your minds during the week? You know, part of what I do, I watch Biggest Loser, but what do we put into our minds? What shows are we watching? What are we listening to? What kind of books are we reading? Where is our consciousness being spent during the week? Are we putting garbage in? If you're watching a lot of TV, I guarantee you that you are. What am I putting in my mind? On a scale with the good stuff that I'm eating, what do I look like? Think about that. How often, if you are exercising to grow, how often are you exercising? Don't wait till I have time. That's the biggest mistake we all make here. Don't wait till I have time. I've cried to Tammy till she's sick of this. But I look around this past couple weeks and I've painted myself into a corner. But I keep my priority where I think it needs to be with God. This is the work we're sitting here right now. This is the work that needs to be our priority. My schedule, if I allowed it, I could step out and never be here, never be at my own congregation working, never be doing the visiting, never be doing the other stuff. We can all do that if we let time take control. Don't wait till I've got time. Think about this. When I get time means when everything else is done, if I've got something left, I'll let God have it. God blessed us in the sense that He showed us His character through the things of old. And we see God's character in the Old Testament. Ask yourself this. Would God be satisfied with leftovers? what's left? I don't think he's going to be. I know he's not going to be. Where's your priorities at? I could be caught up worried about federal court. I could be caught up about doing this other stuff that's so busy to me all the time. And I am caught up in that. But you've got to make time for this growing, this studying. Set a schedule. Don't expect if I get something left over, I'll do it. Set a schedule right now. Plan yourself a night. If you can't plan but an hour in one evening, plan that time an hour. Go into God's Word and feed on that. Study that. Don't let that hour pass. I promise you, if you don't set it and don't purpose your mind to do it, you'll hit that lazy boy, that hour will be gone, and you'll never get it back. Don't wait till you have time. Make time to do it. Make time. Are we visiting? Are we working? Are we teaching yet? Think about these things. You all got a lot of teachers here. There's a lot that's not teaching. Is that a goal? It should be. We're told that that's what we should be able to do as Christians. Set that goal. Start writing a bulletin article. Start giving an invitation. Work toward teaching. We need meat eaters. The church needs meat eaters. Not a bunch of random pacifiers. We've got to grow to make God's church healthy. Find the work. If you don't have time for all that, pick out one of these things that we can do that we've read about today. Make that your effort and say, if I don't do anything else Thursday night from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, I've got a window there, I'm going to go see somebody that's sick. If I don't do anything but just go knock on the door, spend a moment with them, that edifies us, that grows us stronger. That brother or sister may be in need of something. That's what strengthens us. And that's a good work. That's something that we can all do if we can get out. The law of nature, God requires exercise and diet of man, physically and spiritually. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you've never started these things. We read this morning in our class, today is the day. Now is the time. If you let carnal man decide it's time to come forward and give his life to Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can be saved today. But if you're waiting for the carnal man to say, I've got time, Satan's never going to let you have the time to change that lifestyle. He's going to make sure you stay caught up in something from now on. Now is the time. What's God going to say when we wait till our later years and we say, well, I'll do it one of these days. I'll wait till I'm older. I'm going to get enjoy this while I can, and then when I get older, I'll give my life to Christ. What's God getting? He's getting leftovers, isn't he? He don't want leftovers. These are things that we need to do now while we're productive, while we're young. That's the great thing about Timothy, wasn't it? He was so encouraged with his age, his zeal, and his work that he'd done. That's the years that God needs. The ones that we can lower our head and hit it full steam. That's what he wants from us. Today's the day. You can begin that work. If you're here and you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, if you're willing to repent, put off that old man, turn from those old ways, put on the new man, live your life for God, you confess Christ before men, you can have remission of your sins when you're baptized, when you come up from baptism. That's what it takes to be righteous. You're not going to ever be righteous to God on your own. There's only one way. Every man sin, Romans 3:23, and every man will die from his sin, Romans 6:23. The only way we can be righteous, acceptable to God is without sin, and that only is made possible by Christ. That's your start. You're on the pacifier, you're on the bottle probably, get to work. Fill that void. And I promise you, God promises you, you'll see the results. You'll be the biggest loser, spiritually. What an awesome thing to think about. Make your way forward this morning as we stand and as we sing.